Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Sort of a milestone, so to speak, a marker. And it's good to put up milestones from time to time. It's good to take stock and to kind of stop and reflect and think about where you are and how far you've come and the fact that the Lord has been with us. And so tonight we're going to look back on 2015, kind of taking a moment to reflect as we have kind of traditionally. If you're new to the congregation, there might be one or two of you. We usually do this every year, have a lesson at the end of the year, kind of looking back on the ups and downs and the events of the past year as it relates to our congregation and reflecting on those things from a spiritual point of view. And then hopefully finding some things we can take from that to apply to our looking into the next year to do even better and to be encouraged and built up and to serve God faithfully as if he allows the world to stand into 2016. This is, of course, the last Sunday of the year. We'll have another assembly on Wednesday night, still in 2015. This is the last Sunday for 2015, so we'll stop and look back. And we'll begin and end on positive notes and very similar notes. We're going to begin with some physical things, and we'll move into some spiritual kinds of things. On a positive note, we've added a few new mouths, a few new people in the group here. Psalm 127:3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward." First of all, on February 11th, Katie and Daniel welcomed little Walt into the world. And then, on not very much long after that, on April 4th, Jude got a baby sister. I don't see Jude. Is Jude not here to see his baby sister? He is. I'm just missing. Oh, he's out back. Okay. Jude, I wonder if, I thought he would enjoy that. But anyway, Jude got a baby sister. That's the most important thing, is that Jude got a baby sister, right? Maybe next in line to it being Jude getting a baby sister, I was also thinking about how great it's been in the 10 years that we've been here, to see, Mickey and Sharon and Jeff and Leah go from basically the stage that I'm at now when we moved here to now being at the grandparent stage. And, what a blessing that is. Proverbs 17:6 says, "Grandchildren are the crown of the aged and the glory of children is their father." So now, does this mean that if you have grandchildren, you're aged? I don't know, Jeff. That's kind of the implication. That's the inspired word on that. That's not my definition of that. But, I know it's, I'm probably closer to that end of it than I am the other. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Good head of hair. That's right. That's right. Now, moving along from kind of a joyous occasion to a more somber occasion. Not all of life is full of the joys of new life and those kinds of joyful little sounds that we hear. But several people were afflicted this past year and really struggled with various kinds of health challenges. Some kind of ongoing chronic kinds of things. Of course, Leon, Tom and Michelle had several health challenges during the year. It's good to see Tom out tonight, in fact. Of course, Lloyd and Rosalie Eads. Most of these names are going to be familiar from our, we talk about them just about every service in terms of thinking about them, praying for them, and what we can do to encourage them. I've been really encouraged by Felisa this year. It seems like we've seen a whole lot of you, Felisa, lately, and I don't know if you're feeling better or not, but it's been great. She's nodding her head. Yes, that's wonderful. It's been really encouraging to have Felisa with us so often here in 2015. So that's been really encouraging. Rhonda, of course, was here this morning, which was good. But she's had her share of setbacks. And actually, those three in the middle are grouped together because they had a major surgery in 2015. And let me just say, I may be missing somebody, and I apologize, but I'm proud that I'm able to remember this many this many things. Those people had surgery. And then these three are people who are not actually members here, but that we have concern about from connections to them. So Frank, of course, had a stroke and is really struggling. And that seems to have, if you're just around Pam, it seems like it's knocked her back a step. And I don't know that I fully understand all of that, but it's obviously been a challenge to their family dealing with that. And then Virginia, of course, is here local. And Joe is in the same place. And so it's been the blessing of that for our benefit is we've had Kathy and Jennifer with us quite a bit because Joe is local and he's in the nursing home. So we need to continue to think of those people. One thing that's encouraging, you know, we have new life and then we have people on the other end of the spectrum who are facing the difficulties of age and disease, and those things kind of wearing us down, and some of them are not really probably going to get completely healed or better. That's the way life goes. We see that in the scriptures. But we have encouraging verses like this. We do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. This light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. The things that are unseen are eternal. So whether we're there, whether you're there in that stage of life or not, most of us, if we live long enough, we'll face joints breaking down and, you know, things not working like they used to and various sicknesses or cancers or something's coming unless we're just struck down in the prime of life. Our bodies wear out. But the joy of being a Christian is knowing that there's more to us than this. This shell that we're in is going to one day be left behind, and we'll get a brand new one. And that's what we're looking forward to. So we can, it's bittersweet and sad to think about health problems and people facing the effects of age, but yet we have this hope that carries us through. And then for those of us who are not in, perhaps in the midst of that, I want to remind us of what Jesus said about visiting the sick. In Matthew 25, when he separated the sheep and the goats, the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." So I like the fact that we every week are reminded of opportunities. And let's be sure that we're busy about those kind of things, because this is important. Jesus is saying in Matthew 25 that in the judgment day, there will be people who will be sorted out based on whether they showed compassion and mercy and acted in love out of people who were going through hard times. And so whether it's sickness or need or want or all those things, it isn't going to cut it to say, as the goats did in the next paragraph, "When did we ever see you?" And he'll say, "As often as you didn't do it for one of the least of these, you didn't do it for me." So let's be busy about that as we think about 2016. So we started with births, and then we talked about some health setbacks that some of our members have had. And of course, we've added two new people to the group, but we've had two of our people who we've had here regularly, at least, are no longer with us, who passed away in 2015. First, back on January 26th, almost a year ago, Miss Maple departed this life. Maple was one of those larger-than-life characters, I thought. She just bubbling over sort of with zest and energy and smiles. And probably what I remember most about her was her midday phone calls. I don't know if anybody else got phone calls from Maple, but if I saw the phone ring and it was Maple, I would get up from my desk and go find a place to get comfortable, because it was going to be a little while. She would talk and talk and talk and talk. In fact, I've still got on my phone, just because I don't delete anything, voicemails or two that she left me. She would leave me a voicemail that'd be like, it would finally, the phone would cut off. There's a limit to how long you can talk on a voicemail. And she'd be in the middle of something, saying something, and it would finally cut off. I think she would forget I wasn't there. She would just be talking as if I was on the phone, but it was to my answering machine about, you know, whatever was going on. But I'll say that most of the time when she called, most of the time, she was calling because she had an idea about helping somebody. She would see a problem. She would pick up on something. And she would say, "What can we do about this? Or what needs to be done about that? What can we do?" And she was constantly prodding and poking to say, "How can we make this better?" One example of that was Michael and Francesca. Long after everybody else was pretty much put out with some of that, she continued to try to think of ways to help them. And she would call me and say, "Hey, I've got an idea. Or we need to really encourage them. Or I'm afraid that they're going to fall away. What can we do?" And you know, months after nobody else was even talking about them, she would still, I'd get a call out of the blue, and she'd be thinking about them and trying to figure out. And she would, even when she was going through chemo and super sick, they would call her and ask for rides and things like that, and she would go and pick them up and take them places and watch their kids and do whatever she could for them when she was, and I think it helped her. I think it helped her to be focused on other people and to keep busy and to think about things like that, because she knew that she wasn't going to get well. I don't know how many of you realize that, but she talked to me about it, and she knew that cancer, if it came back, and when it came back, she knew that it wasn't going to go away for soon. And she would even say the treatment she was taking were supposed to kind of slow it down. You know, she had those spots on her back and different things, but she knew that it wasn't going to heal it. It was just buying her some time. Well, she filled up the time she had with thinking about other people. I can tell you that. And so she, such an encouragement, to me, and one of those characters reminds me of, what was said about Tabitha, that she was full of good works and acts of charity. And then, of course, we have statements like this: precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The saddest thing about Maple's passing, of course, is Bobby. Because if ever two people were wrapped up in each other, it was Maple and Bobby. And that was really difficult for him. Now, I see pictures on Facebook sometimes that Tammy posts. I know they're looking after him and taking him and doing things with him. But I think it'd be good for us to continue to remember Bobby. And we're approaching the 1-year anniversary of her death. As I said, she passed away on January 26th. So maybe make a note of that we can reach out to Bobby with some words of encouragement. Maybe go visit him. He's not that far away, just down in Huntsville. And so that's something to keep in mind. The other person that we lost from our number, so to speak, a regular long-time visitor, this past year, was Miss Virginia Tate on July 3rd. More often than not, I don't know if you knew this, if you happen to be a little early like Dot is, you probably weren't here before Virginia and Peggy. They were usually the first ones in the parking lot every time. And you see her picture there. She's got her book and her Bible, and she would always have her materials. And when Terry and I went out to see him, we just dropped in unexpectedly, and they were both sitting there on the couch and had their Sunday morning Waldron books open to whatever it was we were studying at the time. And, she was, as far as faithful attendance goes, if she was able to be here, she was going to be here. But she was a very quiet and private person. And, of course, the one thing that everybody, I think, was aware of that was very tragic about that whole situation was that she was never baptized. And several people talked to her about that. I talked to her about it. Sarah talked to her about it. Some of you have told me you talked to her about it. Over the years, back when the Greens were here, I think Jeanette talked to her about it. Several people had talked to her on various occasions over a course of years. She'd been invited by her friend Louise Skidmore, who predates my time here, but she came because Louise invited her, and then she came all the time. But for whatever reason, she just never chose to be baptized. And when she went to the hospital for the very last time, and it was the time when the doctors told Peggy that she wasn't going to get better, to take her home and keep her comfortable and call hospice. And it was only a few days later that she passed away. But in that hospital, she was still lucid and talking. And I asked her, because I wanted to just ask her, I said, is it right you've never been baptized? She said, no. And I said, why were you never baptized? She said, I don't know. And I tried to talk about it, and she just changed the subject to some other thing. She just talked to, she wasn't worried about it or bothered about it. She just wanted to talk about something else. So let me just say to everybody who's here that don't assume if you put off and put off that someday you will. You can put off and put off, and you can be here every time the doors are open. But don't put off being baptized if you know you need to be. In fact, this would be kind of something different, but I'll remind you what Paul was told. Why are you waiting? Rise and be baptized. You don't have to wait to the end of the sermon. We can stop any time if somebody knows that they need to be baptized. That's the most important thing. Don't ever put that off and just put it off. In terms of people leaving our number, we also had some move away in the more traditional sense. The Yearwoods and the Richards both moved away from us in 2015. We need to remember them, especially the Yearwoods. I think the Richards are doing great down in Athens, and they've kind of got a new church family. And I went down there for a meeting at Eastside, where they are now members. And they've been welcomed into the group there, and the kids have classes with lots of little kids their age, and they seem to be doing great. The Yearwoods, from what I hear, faced more health challenges as they continued to, and I'm sure they would really, really benefit from some encouragement and being thought of. And so let's continue to think about them. You know, one of the things about this life that never changes is that we only cross paths for a period of time. Our paths cross, and then they go some in other directions, inevitably, somehow, one way or the other. When we were up at Thanksgiving at Mom and Dad's, every Thanksgiving, a lot of people like us come in from out of town, just like we have some that come in from out of town here, usually around that time of year. And so it was a mix of people who are there. Some of them had grown up and left and moved off, but they came back. And so we had a singing on Wednesday night right before Thanksgiving. And one of the songs Dad led was "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." And it's a great song about, of course, it's one of those kind of a tear-jerking kind of songs. But I like this part. "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts and Christian loves. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." That's the first verse. And then this one is, the last verse in our books. "When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again." So we know as Christians that our time together comes and goes, and people move in and people move out, and kids grow up, and various things happen, and we have these times when we're together, but it doesn't always last forever. But we have this hope that we're connected by a bond, we're connected by a faith and a family, and that there's the hope of being together forever one day that gets us through those kinds of partings that we sometimes have in this life. Now, we had some people move away. We've had some new people who have placed membership with us in 2015, who've been added to our number, some new members. Darren and Elizabeth James have been added to our number here, and that's a wonderful encouragement to us. Debbie Motes was added to our number in 2015. And Joseph Harden was officially added as a member here. He met with the elders during the past year to place membership here. And so it's such a joy to us. If you guys don't know it, you'll learn it as you hang around for a while, that it's a really encouraging thing when people come and join up with us. And so that's something that we get a lot of a boost out of in a small group like this. This is small-ish. I mean, it's not small, but in medium size maybe. We feel everybody. And we feel everybody that moves away and leaves, and we feel everybody that comes in. So you're a big encouragement to us, and we want to be sure that we continue to welcome and extend some encouragement to these new members. Now, some people are a little confused, I know, at times about this placing membership thing. And you might know that it involves meeting with the elders, and I think there's some question about what is that and what's going on? Why do we have those meetings? Even though they've explained it from time to time, let me just go over one more time. The reason why we have an official membership, and we might talk about that, is because the elders are responsible for shepherding the flock, and they really need to know who is the flock. There's verses like this one: "Pay careful attention to yourself." This is addressing elders. "And to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." And in Hebrews 13, we're told, "Obey your leaders and submit to them. They are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." And so, as a matter of expediency and practicality, it is necessary for the elders to know who are part of this flock that they're overseeing. And there is some distinction between someone who just visits, and we have some visitors tonight, and someone who says, "I want to join this group and work with you guys on a permanent basis." And we kind of need to know who's who, in a sense. So, for instance, I talked to Kathy about this recently and said, "Now, you're still a member at Kelly Spring Road." And she said, "Yes." So she's been visiting because Joe, but as of right now, she's still a member there and goes there sometimes. The same thing with Amanda Parks. We've asked her. She says she's still a member at Mayberry. And so she's over there sometimes, and she visits here sometimes. So that's why if somebody says, "I want to be a member here," what the elders do is they encourage that person, ask them to meet with them so they can answer any questions they have, to find out a little bit more about them, and to kind of explain expectations and that kind of thing. And so that's when we announce that somebody has decided to be a member in an official sense. That whole process is an expediency, a way that they've worked out this the best way that they feel like to manage that. So we know who's who and who's visiting among us and who is a member here. And so, I don't know them, but if I'm talking to anybody who hasn't yet done that and you would like to be considered a member of the South Fayetteville Church of Christ, just all you got to do is let any of the elders know, or if you want to let me know, I'll pass it on to them that you're interested in that, and they will just meet with you, and that's about all there is to it. It might sound a little intimidating because you've got to go and have a meeting with the elders, kind of like getting called to the office, but sometimes getting called to the office is a good thing. It's not always a bad thing, and having a meeting with the elders is a good thing in this case. All right, other new things that are going on is we have two new deacons. Ta-da! So, Stephen's shaking his head. By the way, your Facebook photos are a fair game unless you tell me otherwise, okay? Stephen's a new deacon, and I didn't have a good picture of Daryl doing that same pose. But it's great that these men have agreed to be appointed as deacons. It's an honorable task. Daryl is in charge of following up with visitors and contacting them, and also the building maintenance type of things. And Stephen is in charge of electronic stuff, such as clickers and microphones and computers and websites and TVs, and anything that plugs into an outlet or has a battery probably would fall underneath Stephen's purview. And this is a good thing that they're doing. And there's a great verse about deacons. Whoops, I had it in... I guess it didn't show up on the screen. Maybe I hid it somehow. 1 Timothy 3:13 says, "Those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." So that's a great verse about the value of serving as a deacon and being a servant to the congregation here. So, speaking of visitors, we've had several regular visitors. I'm sure I'm not including everybody here. These are just some people I thought of as I was thinking of people who visited kind of on a regular basis in 2015. Jeff Mathis was telling me that back in the Jeff May days that he had on a board, I think he said, the letters TV written on a board. Did I get that right, Jeff? And that was Think Visitor, I think, if I got that right. So it was a reminder, it was kind of an inside message to the members to look around you and notice some new faces and think about the visitors. Because sometimes we come in and we make a beeline for our friend and we go up and we talk about things and we could easily miss somebody. But it's important, because if you've ever visited somewhere, you know the difference it makes whether you feel welcome and whether you feel ignored and whether you feel wanted or whether you feel kind of, you know, on the outskirts or on the outside looking in. And so Lou Hall is Diane Mervin's friend who has visited with her. Amanda Parks comes with Caden and Maddox, as we've mentioned. Candy Wyatt, I hope you know who I mean. She's visited several times. She's just a neighbor from up the street. And then, of course, Kathy and Jennifer have been here, as I mentioned earlier, because of Joe being in the nursing home. That works out to be expedient for them. But let's continue to look around and see new faces and go out of our way to welcome them, make sure they feel comfortable, because it makes a huge difference to people in terms of whether they ever want to come back again and how they feel about the group, and it's to the kind of welcome they receive. And so let's continue to do that. And then let's end on the same kind of note we started with some new births. We started with physical births with Walt and Noli. And now we'll get to some spiritual births. So we had three baptisms this past year. Diane Mervin, a friend of Jeff and Leah's that they studied with. And what a wonderful thing that is to have the opportunity to share the gospel with someone. And that's that whole big picture thing we talked about. And just, you know, realizing that the world needs the gospel and talking to people that we interact with. And that's a great example of Leah and Jeff doing that. I know Leah's continued to be studying with Diane, and I believe they study on Monday nights, and that's just great. It's wonderful and encouraging. And it reminds me of the joy of a sinner repenting. We're told in Luke 15, Jesus has given this parable of the lost things, and he says, "What woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." So we often say there's rejoicing in heaven when someone repents. And that's true, because that's what Jesus tells us. And he's been there and he knows what it's like. And so that's an awesome thought, that there's joy in heaven when someone repents. But that first step is not the end. And when someone is a new Christian, or when they've turned their life around, we need to recognize that this is going to be an ongoing struggle until that becomes their their walk. And we need to constantly encourage and constantly encourage and go out of our way to build up and encourage people who have recently made a life change. Even if it's a Christian who had wandered away but comes back, they may be on fire for a little bit, but they're going to need to sustain that over the coming days and months. And for those of us that this is, you know, old hat, we might forget that that's something that they really need a lot of encouraging for. And especially someone who has made a change in their life. The whole Hebrew study we're doing on Sunday morning, you know the message of all that is, don't turn back now. You started out good. You got to stick with it and encourage each other every day as long as it's called today that nobody falls away. And so let's be encouraged to look around and be aware of these people who have made a change in their life and encourage them. The other two are Abby and Grant, who were baptized also this year. And what a joyous thing that is. And of course, they've kind of grown up in our midst. And it even though John was not speaking of physical children of his, I like this verse in John, 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. John loved to hear that his children were doing well. Now, I don't think he was talking about his personal offspring, but just people that he had been around and had in the faith. But the same thing is, it applies, of course, when young people that had grown up and matured, and we see them kind of growing up right before our very eyes, it seems like. And it's awesome that we've had several who have made the commitment to say, I want to follow Christ, and I want to be baptized, and I want to be a Christian. And I would anticipate we've got more coming along. So we want to encourage them and encourage them to continue to make that decision and continue to encourage them and build up these ones who have made that choice in their life. Well, that's pretty much our look back over 2015. As we look forward, we have some exciting things already on the books in 2016. There's a wedding being planned, I believe. And we're crossing our fingers that Jack's going to graduate in May. So we're hoping that all works out. But there's probably other things that are planned for 2016. I got to get used to saying that, right? We all do. Got to practice. Of course, we don't know what tomorrow holds. And we don't know what tonight holds. And you know that I read on the paper today, 11 people were killed in Texas from tornadoes over Christmas. I mean, you just don't know what the future holds. And so we can't bank on it. So we can make plans. We can think about the future. We ought to look forward to it. Those are good things to do. But let's be aware of the fact that the only time you're guaranteed is right now. And perhaps there's someone here tonight who wants to make your life right, and we can still chalk up another wonderful thing to 2015. It wouldn't be too late to add your name to a list. And so if you need to make your life right in some way, or be baptized, or do anything else, if we can help you, let us know while we stand and sing.